Hello, my name is Emma Bondi Chorney, and I'm a postdoc at the University of Ottawa. I'd like to first thank you for taking the time to evaluate my poster under these interesting and unique circumstances. Looking at the intro to start, my project is on a molecule called polyphosphate. Poly-P, as we call them, are ancient molecules comprised of inorganic phosphates joined by high-energy phosphoanhydride bonds that can be in chain lengths anywhere from 3 to thousands of units in length. It's conserved among all kingdoms of life. However, the synthesis, the mechanism for synthesis and the degradation of this molecule are poorly conserved. These long chains can also act as a PTM through covalent interactions on domains called passmotifs within proteins on lysine residues. This PTM is very novel, only discovered in 2015, and very few protein targets have been identified. Poly-P is generally best studied in bacteria and yeast because we know the enzymes that are responsible for the synthesis and degradation of this molecule, and this is unlike mammals, where no enzymes have ever been identified, despite many studies that have tried. With no enzymes being identified for the synthesis and degradation of poly-P in mammals, studying this molecule in mammalian systems presents a unique challenge. In this work, I will describe a system where I led the design in our lab to produce poly-P inside of mammalian cells through the ectopic expression of E. coli PPK1. Starting at figure 1, I show the system that we developed to look at this poly-P increase within mammalian cells. So to do that, I transiently transfected either an empty vector or a vector containing the E. coli PPK1 gene under the CMV promoter. I did this for 48 hours and then harvested the cells. One important point to remember is that the PPK1 gene encodes the protein PPK1. This is the enzyme responsible for building or synthesizing those poly-P chains in E. coli. In figure 1b, we can see that the expression of PPK1 resulted in this poly-P accumulation within the cells. This is also, we compared this to the PPK1 produced in E. coli and in yeast in lanes 8 and 9, and indeed we can see that the sizes of the poly-P extracted from these different organisms under these different conditions are varied in size. Importantly, PPK1 expression, as we see in figure 1c, can cause a dramatic electromobility shift of known polyphosphorylated targets. So that's when we get the poly-P added onto the protein as a PTM, and we can see these with specialized gels called NuPage gels. Next, I wanted to investigate where exactly the recombinant PPK1 protein was localizing. And we can see that even though we saw it in every single fraction, it was mostly observed in the cytoplasm and the nuclear cytoskeletal fractions. This is in contrast to the actual poly-P being produced in these fractions, being extracted from these fractions, where the highest concentrations are in the cytoplasm and the lowest are in the nuclear cytoskeletal fractions. Importantly, this amount was high enough to cause these electrophoretic mobility shifts in a known polyphosphorylated target DEC within each fraction. Altogether, these results demonstrate that the mammalian cells are capable of supporting this expression of PPK1 and the accumulation of poly-P in vivo. We wanted to explore the impact of poly-P accumulation on the transcriptome, so we carried out a large-scale RNA analysis, the outline shown in figure 2a. In figure 2b, we again used NuPage analysis to confirm that polyphosphorylated targets DEC and MESD were able to be shifted within these samples. In figure 2c, I show the volcano plot that we got from our analysis of our RNA-seq. Altogether, I found 313 downregulated and 47 genes that were upregulated using an adjusted p-value of less than 0.05 and a log two-fold change of 1.25 in PPK1 expressing cells. Figure 2D through G just shows this validation of the using RT-PCR, qPCR on the candidate targets from the RNA-seq. Altogether, I can conclude that our data set is of high quality because of our 75% validation rate and that poly-P production in mammalian cells stimulates significant gene reprogramming of gene expression. GoTerm enrichment was performed on all statistically significant genes and revealed 11 enriched terms, which you can see in figure 2. Among the top 4 significant enriched terms were associated with DNA, specifically transcription regulation and DNA binding. Moving on, we wanted to see, okay, there are changes in the RNA, but are there any changes in the protein? So we used label-free mass spectrometry to measure the global levels of the global protein levels in 5 biological replicates of 293T cells transiently transfected with either PPK1 or control plasmids. And I show the diagram, the flow chart here in figure 3A. Following the confirmation of poly-P by the NuPage, again, we do this for every experiment, shown in figure 3B, we found that there were significant changes in the level of 14 proteins with PPK1 expression as compared to control. And we can see that in the volcano plot in figure 3C. GoTerm analysis of the statistically significant proteins was interesting and only revealed one term, positive regulation of epithelial cell migration. In figure 3D, we further characterized an additional group that was called singletons, composed of proteins that showed their level changes in their levels, but could not be included in our statistical analysis as they were not detected in all 5 biological replicates. Taken together, these results show changes in the proteome in poly-P producing cells. We wanted to focus a little bit more on some of these hits and explore further what the consequence of producing poly-P in the cells were. So we extended our analysis to follow up on one target, DHRS2, which encodes for the DHRS2 protein, also known as HEP27. In figure 4A, you can see that the validation by qPCR shows a decrease in DHRS2 mRNA levels. We also saw this decrease in protein levels, shown in figure 4B. Now, DHRS2 is reported to stabilize P53 levels via serine 15 phosphorylation, and so we wanted to see if we also saw that in our cells. In figure B, we saw no changes in P53 phosphorylation in PPK1, and for C and D are the quantifications of those blots. In figure 5, we also looked at another target, EGR1, and this was found to be upregulated in our RNA-seq. We saw that by qPCR and Western blotting that both EGR1 mRNA and protein levels were increased under PPK1 expression, and that's shown in figure 5C through A. Now, interestingly, EGR1 mRNA transcription is regulated by the activation of the ERK1 pathway phosphorylation of ERK1-2. And indeed, we saw, shown in figures 5D and E, that with PPK1 expression, it actually induced ERK1 phosphorylation on tyrosine residues T202 and Y204 without affecting overall ERK1-2 levels. Now, interestingly, these residues are phosphorylated by the by the M1-2 kinases in the signaling cascade. Now, it was also reported that the incubation of cells with external poly-P, so not being produced inside but being applied outside, did increase the phosphorylation of ERK1-2 and the parallel activation of the mTORC1 pathway as measured by phosphorylation of P70SK6. We also saw, as shown here in figure 5, that P70SK6 was also increased in phosphorylation in cells accumulating PPK1. For the first time, this work demonstrates that the internal production of poly-P can activate conserved pathways that impinge on cell growth and development. Finally, in figure 6, we wanted to see whether the increase of poly-P in the cell changed any localization of proteins known to have these long chains of poly-P added to them. In one target, P56, shown in figure 6A, we did not see any difference, but this is in contrast to some of the targets we show in figure 6B and 6C, where we see dramatic redistribution from one cellular compartment, mostly the nuclear cytoskeletal, to distribution throughout the rest of the fractions. This is very interesting and the first time it's ever been shown. We also saw an increase in a non-phosphorylated target, TAF10, following PPK1 expression. Altogether, this shows for the first time that internal accumulation of poly-P alters protein localization in mammalian cells. In conclusion, the expression of E. coli PPK1 upregulates internal poly-P localized to all parts of the cell, mostly cytoplasmic, and allows for the polyphosphorylation of target proteins. We saw upregulation of internal poly-P causing changes to the mammalian transcriptome and proteome, and upon internal regulation of poly-P of the nuclear proteins, it showed changes in their localization. Understanding the molecular mechanistic details is extremely important and part of our future work. Thank you so much, and I hope the rest of the conference is fantastic.